Proverbs chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Let's pray again and ask God's help. Father, we thank you for this sweet passage. Lord, these sweet words, that all your words are sweet like the honeycomb, dripping like honey, more precious than thousands of pieces of gold and silver. Lord, we pray that you would make that true to us today in our hearts and minds, that we would have eyes to see and ears to hear what you, the Holy Spirit, says to the church at Olney Baptist Church. And so give us ears to hear and eyes to see. Lord, may we taste and see that Christ is all, that Christ is good, that Christ is satisfying, that you, O God, are worthy of our trust no matter what happens. Lord, that you are mighty and powerful, and that you are good and loving, and we can trust you. And so help us, God. I pray, Lord, for those who come here this morning that are struggling, Lord, like me, to trust you. To trust you with everything, in every situation, every circumstance. Lord, be with us this morning as we wrestle and struggle, and fill us with faith, Lord, as we've never been filled before, that we might trust you with all of our hearts. So do that, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Your eternal destiny, your eternal destiny depends on who you trust. Your eternal destiny depends on who you trust. And the question of our text this morning is, will you trust God or will you trust yourself? Will you trust God or will you trust yourself? I was struck by this passage. You notice that the heart is mentioned three times here. But let your heart keep my commandments. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. God is after your heart. He wants your heart, not just your outward conformity to certain rules and regulations and rituals of religious practice. He wants your heart. He wants you to delight in Him, to love Him, to be in love with Him, to be giddy and joyful and delighted with Him, to have a smile on your face as you meditate about Him. He wants your heart. And God wants you to trust and obey Him. Trust and obey Him. As the old hymn says, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. There is a woman named Elizabeth Elliot. She's with Jesus now, and I've spoken to you about her before. But she and her husband and several other young couples had a passion to see Christ known among a very vicious and violent tribe in South America. Her husband and the other four husbands were speared to death by this tribe that they went to try and tell about Jesus. And there was an article that I read about this woman. She died recently, so she's with Jesus now, but she died recently. And World Magazine had an article about her, and the title was Trust and Obey. Trust and Obey. And I want to read for you the first parts of this article. I have now met four of the seven men who killed our husbands. 31-year-old missionary Elizabeth Elliot wrote to two friends from an Ecuadorian jungle. It was October 1958. 2.5 years earlier, a group of Warani Indians, known locally as Alkas or Savages, had speared to death Elliot's husband, Jim, along with his 4 male companions on a river beach. The missionaries had been attempting to befriend the unreached tribe. The Indians thought the white men were cannibals. Now, Elliot, along with Valerie, her 3-year-old daughter, and Rachel Saint, the sister of one of the murdered missionaries, was sleeping in a leaky, leaf-thatched hut, eating roasted monkey limbs, swatting gnats, and listening to frogs, cicadas, and insects, and chanting Indians at night. The young widow and single mother was voluntarily doing what seemed crazy. I hope that you feel the craziness of this. She's doing what seemed crazy, living among the very tribe that had massacred her husband. She and Saint hoped to translate the Bible into the Rwani language. After Valerie, her 3-year-old daughter, asked if one of the tribesmen was her daddy, Elliot explained that no, these were the men who killed him. "Oh," the little girl replied. "New situations are only new arenas for faith to be proved," Elliot wrote to her friends. "Pray that my faith rest firmly in the pioneer and perfecter." I'm just so encouraged by this woman's trust in the Lord with all her heart. Can you imagine that? You have been married to this man of your dreams for about 2 years, and you have a little daughter, and these savage tribesmen kill your husband, kill your lover, and leave you a single mom of a 3-year-old daughter, and you take that little girl and you live, befriend, and love the men who killed your husband. And through her witness to these men, many in this tribe come to know Jesus. She's not the kind of woman that, "Oh, okay, God, I've been serving you faithfully and doing all this, and you take my husband, forget you." No. She goes right in the middle of the fire. She goes right out of the frying pan into the fire and lives with these people who killed her husband with her daughter. Friends, that's crazy. That's crazy. And that's what Jesus calls us to be in the eyes of the world. Amen. Crazy. Amen. Absolutely crazy. Because we put all our eggs in one basket, the Jesus basket. We do things that the world cannot explain because we trust in the Lord with all of our hearts. And so I read stories like this, and I want to be like this woman. Lord, make me like her. What do you want me to do, Lord? A blank check with my life. Here I am. Do with me what you please. Help me trust you, Lord. I want to be faithful. Those are the desires of the Christian. And so let's think about this passage. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That was my first point, and that's the only place we're going to get. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. What is trust? What is trust? Here's one way to understand trust. Trust is demonstrated when you give someone something very valuable to you and you put your full confidence in them to take care of what is so valuable to you. So you have something very valuable and you say, "I trust this other person with what I value. I believe that they are able to take care of this and they are good. And they will do a good job taking care of this." So it's sort of like if I had my wallet, and in my wallet I had a check that someone gave me for $20 million. I don't, but if I did, if I had a check with $20 million in it, and I said, "Michael, Todd, can you hold my wallet? I've got to go away for a week, and I don't need this particular check. Would you watch over that for me?" You see, that's a lot of trust, right? I believe that Michael, number one, is able to take care of it. And number two, I believe that Michael's good. And he's going to do good toward me. He's not going to spend it on himself. He's going to take care of that. Or you trust your children. Children are little. Janelle is so beautiful here on the front row. We love our children. We value our children. We want to take care of our children. And if you leave your children with somebody, that is a huge amount of trust. You are trusting that they're able to care for Janelle and that they're good. They're able and they're all loving. You see, and they're going to take care of your children. Or if you were to fly in an airplane, you realize how much trust you're putting in that pilot. You're trusting that pilot with your life. You're trusting that he's able to fly the plane and that he's good. He's not going to crash it into the Alps as one has done recently. Or a car. Cars are more dangerous than airplanes. People are scared of airplanes, but you're much safer in a corporate jet than you are in your car. When you get in a car, you're trusting the driver of that car with your life. So you're trusting something valuable, and you're trusting that this person is able to care for this value, and that they're all good, they're all loving, they're going to take care of this. Well, we are commanded as Christians to trust in the Lord with what is most valuable to us. And so how are you doing? How are you doing, believer in the Lord Jesus, trusting God with what's most valuable to you? Money, job situations, economic situations. How are you doing trusting the Lord with those valuable things to you? How are you doing trusting God with your children? How are you doing trusting God with your grades? Those of you who are students in school and have to measure up to a standard of grading. How are you doing trusting God with that? How are you doing trusting God with relationships? You're a widow, and so you've lost your husband, and that's hard. How are you doing trusting the Lord with all your heart in that situation? Or you're 38 years old and you've never been married and you long to be married and yet it just is not happening. Just not happening. Are you trusting the Lord with your relationships? Or just hard relationships? You're married, but man, marriage is hard. I didn't expect this. This is not what I expected. And wow, when you put two sinners together under the same roof, it's hard. And are you trusting the Lord with your marriage relationships? Trusting God with relationships that are hard with other people in your life, friends, family, coworkers. Trusting God with where you live. Trusting God with your health. Your health is bad and you're struggling. Are you trusting the Lord with your health, with your future, anything in the future? Are you trusting the Lord with that? I love Proverbs 31 woman. It says she laughs at time to come. She laughs at the future. She doesn't fear the future. Whatever future throws in her face, she laughs because she's trusting in the Lord with all of her heart. And so how are we doing trusting in the Lord with all of our heart, with what is most valuable to us? How can we know if we are trusting in the Lord with all of our hearts? How can we know if we're doing a good job with this? Well, are you anxious? Are you anxious? Are you fearful? Anxiety is the opposite of trust. Lack of peace in your life is the opposite of trust. Discontentment is the opposite of trust. Joy, delight, and fulfillment in other things or people more than God is the opposite of trust in God. And so you can ask yourself these questions. Am I anxious? Do I have peace? Am I finding my joy and delight in other people and things more than in God Himself alone? Sometimes when you lose something, and not until you lose something or someone, do you realize how much trust you are placing in that. It could be something as small as a meal. That's one of the benefits of fasting. It's interesting to notice how much just daily joy you take in tasting that hamburger for lunch. And so then when you lay that down and say, God, you are more satisfying than my necessary food. I want to find my joy in you alone. It could be something as small as a meal that you skip and fast on Wednesday to spend time with Jesus and find your joy in him. It could be some material possession, an iPhone, an iPad, a computer, a car, and you lose that thing and you realize, wow, I didn't realize how much I trust in that object. I didn't realize how much joy I place in that object. And now that I've lost that, I'm almost devastated. It could be your job, how much you find your identity, who you are in your job or your status, role as a husband or a wife. It could be a child that you lose and you learn how much joy you place in a child, or it could be a spouse, as Elizabeth Elliot lost her first husband, and you realize, wow, I'm undone over this and I don't want to live anymore. Friend, when we lose something and we have these feelings of despair and depression, like I don't want to live anymore, that's evidence that we are placing way too much trust and hope in that particular thing or person. And we need to redirect our trust with all our heart to the Lord and the Lord alone.
Amen.
We are to trust in the Lord with all of our hearts and not be anxious. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Do not be anxious about anything. I mean, there's nothing God gives you the right to be anxious about. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. We are to trust in the Lord with all of our hearts and have peace. Isaiah 26, 3. Speaking to God, the prophet says, you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. I was talking to a man at Broad and Olney yesterday, and he was talking to me about how the worst thing in the world for him to do is watch the news in the morning. And I thought about this truth. What do you stay your mind on? What do you fix your mind on? Is it garbage? Garbage in, garbage out? Or do you obey Philippians 4, whatever is good, whatever is holy, whatever is pure, whatever is beautiful, think on these things. Oh, friend, that television is not morally neutral. That computer is not morally neutral. Fix your mind on the things of the Lord. Trust in Him. And you will have perfect peace. We're to trust in the Lord with all of our hearts and be satisfied in Him alone. Psalm 145, 16. The psalmist says to God, you open your hand and you satisfy the desire of every living thing. Only in God is satisfaction. Only in God is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. Above all and more than anything else on earth or in the universe, we are to trust in the Lord with all of our hearts. And oh, what a great many reasons God has given us to trust in Him. Oh, what many reasons God has given us to trust in Him. He is able. He is abundantly able beyond what we can ever ask or think. And He is all loving more than any one in the universe. God loves you more than the most perfect husband or wife. Children, God loves you more than your parents. God loves you more than anyone who's ever loved you. God loves you more, and He is more able than any. I love the story of Job, and God takes everything from Job. Takes his children, takes his wealth, takes his health, and he still trusts God. He still trusts God. But Job did a little bit of complaining. Job did a little bit of complaining, and God comes to Job at the end of the book and gives Job reasons for why he ought to trust God, why he ought to close his mouth and trust God. And so I want to read some portions from Job 38 and Job 40. God tells Job, dress for action like a man. Gird up thine loins. Put your cup on, Job, and listen to what I'm going to say. Dress for action like a man. I will question you, and you make it known to me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding, or who shut up the sea with doors when it burst out from the womb, when I made clouds its garments and thick darkness its swaddling band and prescribed limits for it and set bars and doors and said, thus far you shall come and no further, and here where your proud waves shall be stayed. Have you commanded the morning since your days began and caused the dawn to know its place, that it might take hold of the skirts of the earth and the wicked be shaken out of it? Can you send forth lightnings that they may go and say to you, here we are? Who has put wisdom in the inward parts or given understanding to the mind? Who can number the clouds by wisdom, or who can tilt the waterskins of the heavens when the dust runs into a mass and clods stick fast together? Can you hunt the prey for the lion or satisfy the appetite of the young lions when they crouch in their dens or lie in wait in their thicket? Who provides for the ravens its prey when its young ones cry to God for help and wander about for lack of food? Have you an arm like God, and can you thunder with a voice like His? Adorn yourself with majesty and dignity, clothe yourself with glory and splendor, pour out the overflowings of your anger, and look on everyone who is proud and abase him. You go on and on. This is God Almighty. Job, you're going to argue against God Almighty. Who are you? Were you there when I created? Can you make the sun to rise and the sun to set? Can you throw forth lightning bolts? Oh, Job, trust me. Just trust me. I actually know what I'm doing, Job. I always have been and I always will be. There was nobody before me. There's nobody after me. You can't impeach me. I'm not going to resign. I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing, Job. Trust me. That's God's word to Job. Friends, that's God's word to you this morning. That's God's word to you this morning. No matter what your situation, I trust that no one is as bad as Job here this morning, because if you were, you wouldn't be here. You would be at home with boils and pus flowing out of your body and you couldn't get out of bed. But that's Job, and he's saying things like, though you slay me, Lord, I'll trust in you. I'll trust you. And God is here sort of encouraging Job to keep trusting him. Keep trusting me, Job. I can handle this. Oh, what rock solid, unshakable reasons God has given us to trust Him in every situation. He is God. So trust in Him with all your heart. He made everything. So trust in Him with all your heart. He not only made everything, He sustains everything. So trust in Him with all your heart. All of His promises come true. All of His promises come true. Romans 8:28. Friend, if you're a believer here, God says to you that I work everything out for your good. Everything. Everything for your good. So trust in the Lord with all your heart. All of God's promises are yes and amen in Jesus. So trust in the Lord with all your heart. He provided Abraham all that he needed when he called him to leave his homeland. So trust in the Lord with all your heart. He took care of Joseph when he was sold into slavery, falsely accused of sexual immorality, put in prison, and then raised to the second highest position on earth. What men meant for evil, God meant for good. So trust in the Lord with all your heart. He provided for Moses and the children of Israel when he brought them out of Egypt with mighty power, parted the sea, sent plagues, killed the firstborn in Egypt, rescued them from over 400 years of slavery, and provided them in the wilderness. So trust in the Lord. He protected David and gave him victory when he stood to fight Goliath. So trust in the Lord with all your heart. He protected Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they were thrown into the fiery furnace. So trust in the Lord with all your heart. He protected Daniel when he was thrown into the lion's den. So trust in the Lord with all your heart. He so loved the world. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. He so loved the world, He gave His Son to die and raised Him from the dead. So trust in the Lord with all your heart. And even though, those are all stories of victory, right? But even though many of His people were destroyed, are being destroyed, and will be destroyed for being faithful to Him, He still takes care of them for all eternity, and nothing can separate them from His love. And so Hebrews 11, verses 35 through 38, speaks of these faithful followers of God. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep, goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy. But God is worthy of their trust as well, even when He doesn't save from the fire. Even when He lets the lion devour you, He is worthy of our trust, because He says, even if the lion devours, even if the fire burns, nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Romans 8, 31 through 39. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Jesus Christ is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake they are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. So friend, get this. Even though you are facing tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or sword, that does not mean that God does not love you. Because this passage says, even in the midst of those things, they cannot separate you from the love of God. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, which includes you and your free will, nothing will separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So trust in the Lord with all of your heart. As the hymn says, great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. And so if you hear that hymn and you have trouble with that line, all I have needed, thy hand hath provided. You see, our problem comes sometimes when we hear that and we say, well, I have a list of things I need that I don't have. And He ain't provided that yet. Well, that's when we most need to trust. That's when we most need to trust in the Lord with all of our hearts. When we have that list that He has not provided and we think we need those things. We have to trust His heart, even when we can't understand His hand. One pastor told me that. I believe it was Hal Hopkins. You have to trust God's heart, even when you can't figure out what is He doing in this situation. You can't figure out His hand, but you can trust His heart. You know He's able. You need to go read those last chapters of Job again. And let God put you in your place. And you need to know that His heart is for you. It's for your good. And so what you think you need, apparently according to the one who has always has been and knows what you need better than you do, apparently you don't need that. And so we trust Him. We trust Him to give us what we need at the right time, in the right way. And friend, I stand before you not as somebody who's arrived at this. You can pray for your pastor that he would trust the Lord, that he would grow in his trust in knowing that God's heart is good. We often will question things. Oh, does God love me? Oh, is God getting me here? Is he after me? We sometimes see God as more of this tyrant in the sky who at the first wrong step is ready to zap us. That's not our Heavenly Father, Christian. Your Heavenly Father is greater than any earthly father could be. Maybe you had a bad father. Maybe you had a father that treated you in a horrific, unspeakable way. Friend, that's not God. God is the perfect Father, the loving Father, the caring Father, the providing Father, the protecting Father. He will take care of you. He loves you more than you could ever know or imagine, and He's giving you exactly what you need, when you need it, the way that you need it. So trust Him. Trust Him with all of your heart. Remember, I said that one way to understand trust is demonstrated when you give someone something very valuable to you and you put your full confidence in them to take care of what is so valuable to you. You trust them to take care of your valuables just as good or better than you could. What do you have that is most valuable to you? What do you own or have in your possession, as I would say, you don't even own it, but you've been given it as a stewardship for a time. What do you have that is most valuable to you? Your everlasting soul. Your everlasting soul. Your everlasting soul. One human soul is worth more than the whole world. One human soul is worth more than the whole world. Jesus said in Mark 8:36, "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul?" Friend, if you're here this morning, have you entrusted your eternal soul to God through Jesus Christ? Have you done that? You see... We repeat this message over and over again. Every week, I want to repeat this. And God willing, as long as I preach, I will. And I hope that those of you who are saved, you just revel in being reminded of the gospel. We got to hear a testimony. We got to hear Howard's testimony yesterday of how God saved him from his sin and his evil and his wickedness and made him a trophy of God's grace. And Howard began to shed tears over the grace of God in his life. And anytime somebody else sheds tears, then I start shedding tears too. It's something to cry about. Amen. Something to cry about how God saved you through the gospel. And so believer, as I go over the gospel week in and week out, remember how He saved you. Remember when He saved you. Friends, the bad news is we have not trusted in the Lord with all of our hearts. We've been anxious. We've tried to take matters into our own hands, and that leads to sin. That is sin, and it leads to sin. We've all sinned and fallen short of God's glory. We've trusted in ourselves. The next part of the section, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. We love to trust self. We love to take matters into our own hands, and that's sin. That's sin. And so we have a God who is good and holy and righteous, who hates sin. He hates sexual immorality. He hates lying and stealing and coveting. He hates abortion. He hates children talking back to parents. He hates disobedience to authority. He hates brutality that authorities show to others. He hates sin. And He's angry. He's angry, the Bible says, with the wicked every day, and He will cast sinners into hell forever and ever, where there's no escape, there's no relief. Jesus describes it as weeping and gnashing of teeth, unquenchable fire, where the fire never goes out and the worm does not die. It's like being on fire but never dying. But worse than that, that's how angry God is at our lack of trust, our disobedience. Praise God, He's merciful. He's merciful. And so He's done something to remove that anger. He sent Jesus into the world, who came on earth and always trusted God perfectly with all his heart and never leaned on his own understanding, but acknowledged God in all his ways. And he lived an obedient life, perfect life, righteous life, died on that cross where he suffered the wrath of God. He, as it were, took the pains of hell for myriads of people that no man can number upon himself and quenched the fire, put them out. Gone. Peace be still. It's over. And rose up from the dead, so that now, if you see your sin, if you're here this morning and you hear me go through all those sins, and you're not thinking, wow, he's very judgmental. He's so judgmental. He shouldn't be judging people like that. If that's not you, but you hear me say that, and you know that's you. Thou art the man. You know you've committed those sins, and you know they're against God, and you know he's upset. Friend, there's hope for you. There's hope for you. There's not hope for the first person. That first person is arrogant and proud and needs to be humbled. May God do it. But if you're there this morning and you hear me go through that record of sin and you say, that's me. That's me. That's me. I need a Savior. Friend, I've got good news for you. Jesus didn't come for the righteous who thinks everybody's judging them. He came for the unrighteous who know they're sinners, know they deserve to go to hell, know that they don't deserve anything good. He came for you. And so he died on that cross, rose from the dead, and says, if you believe in me, you'll be saved. Turn from your sins. Forsake it. Believe in him and you shall be saved. Acts 16:31. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. He will wash you clean. He will take away your sins. He will clothe you with the righteousness of Jesus. He will put his Spirit within you. And the promises of Romans 8:28 will become true for you. Everything in your life will be working for your good. Even past things that have happened to you that are bad, maybe even someone evil did something against you, God will work that for good. Yes. That was not good, don't get me wrong. Evil that happens to you is not good, but God will use it for good in your life. And so if you're here this morning, you're not a Christian, we want you to believe in Jesus. We want you to believe in Jesus. I don't call people up to the front and have an altar call because my God is so big, He can save you right in your seat. He doesn't need you to walk forward. And we practice baptism here, so the way you make it public is you get baptized. That's what the Bible says. And so come to Him in your seat right now. Confess your sins. Confess that you need a Savior. Cry out to God to save you, to deliver you, for Christ to come and dwell in your heart. Repent of your sins. Believe in Him and He'll save you. And come and talk to me or talk to one of the church officers or other Christians here. Come over after the service to lunch and let's talk about the gospel. We want you to be saved. Amen. One last thing I want you to see in this passage. All over the Old Testament, we're told to trust the Lord. Believe in the Lord. Believe in Jehovah. Believe in Jehovah God. Trust in God. Put your hope in God. Believe in God. But it's amazing as we come to the New Testament, we're told over and over and over again, trust in Jesus. Amen. Hope in Jesus. Believe in Jesus. Put your faith in Jesus. What does that mean? That's scary. That's scary if you're a Jehovah's Witness and deny that Jesus is God. But you see, we understand that Jesus is Lord, that we're to trust with all of our hearts. Philippians 2, verses 8 through 11, He, Jesus, humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we're told all over the New Testament to trust in Him. Philippians 2:19, I hope in the Lord Jesus. Philippians 2:24, I trust in the Lord. Romans 3:26, so that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Galatians 2:16, yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1:15, I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus. Philippians 3:9, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ. Colossians 1:4, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 1:3, hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation 14:12, those who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus. James 2:1, as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 20:21, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 16:31, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Matthew 18:6, Jesus said, but whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. John 17:20, Jesus said, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. It's amazing the emphasis of the New Testament on believing, trusting, hoping in Jesus, and the stark contrast that is to the Old Testament, believe, trust in Jehovah, Yahweh, God. Wow, Jesus is God. He's God the Almighty. He's worthy of our trust. Jesus Christ should be your trust. He died for sinners filled with lust and rose to make His people just. Through His Spirit, hearts combust to burn for Him. This is a must. The world is falling apart. The world has been falling apart ever since sin entered the world. But we trust in the Lord our God. The world is falling apart. Authority in the highest places is being abused. Good is being called evil, and evil is being called good. Evil is being celebrated and rejoiced in. But we trust in the Lord our God. The world is falling apart. Racist people are still hating and killing. Radical Islamic terrorists are killing and raping. People are shooting up movie theaters. Police brutality is harming the helpless. People are rebelling against authority that God ordained. Pastors are disqualifying themselves from ministry through sexual immorality. But we trust in the Lord our God. The world is falling apart. False doctrine is running wild in the church. Money is loved more than God. False prophets are proclaiming a false Jesus. Many pastors are lovers of money rather than lovers of God. But we trust in the Lord our God. The world is falling apart. Planned Parenthood is dismembering babies and selling their hearts, heads, livers, and lungs. Children are being enslaved, used, and abused all around the world. The poor are starving. Unreached people don't have access to the gospel. Our neighbors in Alney still don't know Jesus. But we trust in the Lord our God. The world is falling apart. We are falling apart because of our sin. The greatest enemy you face is your own sin. Sin separates you from God. Sin leads you to death. Sin messes up your life. Sin will send you to hell forever. God will send you to hell forever because of your sin. But there is a sin bearer named Jesus who came to save us from our sin. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Jesus died on that cross for sinners, rose from the dead so that we might be saved. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. And so we trust in the Lord our God. The world is falling apart, but Jesus, our God-man champion, has come. Jesus, our God-man champion, has perfectly obeyed. Jesus, our God-man champion, has perfectly loved. Jesus, our God-man champion, has perfectly trusted. Jesus, our God-man champion, has died. Jesus, our God-man champion, has risen. Jesus, our God-man champion, is reigning over the whole universe. Jesus, our God-man champion, is coming back. And so, no matter what, we trust in the Lord our God with all our hearts. Let's pray. Father, we praise You. for our God-man champion, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we praise You that Your main priority for us because You love us is not that we always get what our little hearts desire, but that we become more like Jesus, like the man of sorrows, the man of suffering and affliction. Oh Lord, we pray that today, God, if there's anyone here who has never trusted the Lord Jesus, that they would and be saved. Father, we pray for believers here who are beat down and at the end their wits' end and struggling, Lord, to trust. Lord, we pray that You would fill them with faith today. Lord, we pray that they would be able to trust Your heart even when they can't understand what Your hand is doing in their lives. Lord, reveal to them Your faithfulness through Your Word and through their own lives as You have been faithful to them. God, open our eyes today and show us that You are able and You are worthy of all our trust because You love us and You showed us Your love on that cross. You shouted us, He loves You. He loves You. He loves You. God, may we know the height and width and length and depth of the love of Jesus that surpasses knowledge. And may we be filled with all Your fullness for Jesus' sake. And all God's people said, Amen. 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 Well, we're going to